Saturday Meditation, September 27th, 2008.
The first question tonight, Coyle, comes from Terry Sue. Terry says, I saw an interesting DVD called The Solar Empire. In this splendid film discusses sunspots and solar flares. As I recall, these solar phenomena may influence all planets in the solar system on a physical level. So may we ask, Quo, if there is a metaphysical meaning regarding the various phenomena of our sun, like solar flares and sunspots?
Those known to you as Akul. Greetings in the love and in the light of the one infinite creator. It is a great privilege, as always, to be called to your circle of seeking this evening. And we, as always, are dumbfounded by the beauty of your blended auras, as by your intention you have created this sacred space together. We thank you for your query, and will gladly respond as best we can within the limits of free will. But as always, we would ask that each of you listens with discrimination so that you may take away those thoughts which may be helpful to you and leave the rest behind. There are two ways to hear information, one with respect for the source and the other with respect to the resonance of your own discrimination. We would ask that you follow the latter, not that you respect us the less, but that you respect yourself the more. We thank you for this consideration, for it will allow us to speak more freely and not be concerned that we might be a stumbling block to you in some way or interrupt your spiritual process. Your sun body is a sublogos, a manifester and center of light and love, which it pours out upon all indiscriminately and generously and with great love. As you are perhaps aware, the actions of each of you do not go unnoticed in the universe. The creation of the Father is one. And the universe balances itself endlessly with regard to each and every one of its infinite bits and pieces of creatorhood, which are making the long circular journey from Alpha to Omega and entering into Alpha once again. The situation of your people upon Gaia, or the entity you call planet Earth, is one which has been maturing and ripening throughout your last several thousand of years, as cycle after cycle of empire has risen and been brought to dust, only to spawn another empire with aggressive and hostile feelings and emotions buttressing the point of view that conquers and controls. These cycles of empire have not lessened as this last major cycle has progressed, but rather there has been a stoppage of the willingness of those upon your sphere to entertain what this instrument would call a new paradigm. We do not speak here of all of those upon your planet, but rather we speak in terms of those whose hands have been greedy for power. Due to the natural tendency of those upon a certain path to incarnate in bunches, shall we say, you have before you now a large group of entities who have worked together, always fighting for position, but bearing enough amity towards each other to conspire to control the population of your planet and to bend all things to their will. They have done this before. These entities have been faces of the banquet in Babylon, in Rome, in the Holy Roman Empire, in the Third Reich, and now. There are other cycles of service to self entities in other cultures. And those who rode with Genghis Khan ride now within your Eastern countries such as China, Korea, and Japan, India and Pakistan, Israel, Syria, the list can go on. This phenomenon where entities who love power and who love control are seeking, whether consciously or unconsciously, to graduate in the service to self-polarity, are in charge, has mandated an acceleration of heat of a metaphysical type. And this heat winds itself down into the earth, not so much in the physical earth as in the energy body of the earth, shall we say, causing the earth to seek ever more diligently to balance herself . This has its effect not only upon the planet, but upon the sun, which streams its light to bless the planet. You may see these increased and severe solar flares and other sun phenomena as the sun's innocent and necessary balancing of its energy field, that the highest and best possible outcome may be preserved for each and every entity upon planet Earth. It is not an angry sun that is smiting those who have done wrongly. It is simply a living being which in order to be in balance, must express the products of imbalance so that balance may be regained. There is no question, my friends, but that you personally, all by yourself, can make a difference in this situation. Insofar as you have the ability to cease the war within you, more light is allowed into your environment, and planet Earth feels that lightening of consciousness and is deeply grateful. She is, in fact, most grateful each day as your group offers the Gaia meditation and hopes for peace on Earth and peace in the hearts of humankind. Therefore, we would say to the one known as Terry that there is not a metaphysical message per se in the increased solar flares any more than there is a message in the increased incidence of extreme weather which you are experiencing at this time. It is a benign and necessary means of adjusting and balancing the energy body of the planet, the energy body of the solar system. Imagine what would happen within your own vehicle if one of your organs was amiss. Say, perhaps your lungs were heavily damaged and you were having difficulty breathing. This would impact your ability to think, your heart function, and many other functions of the body, which depend upon the steady intake of oxygen. Thusly, these are symptoms of a metaphysical illness which we might describe as a fever which has overtaken humankind. We would simply ask each of you to do what you can to reduce the fever of your own life, your own thoughts, and your own heart. And to turn always with utter faith and confidence to the holy sanctuary within your heart, where the Creator is to be found in good weather and in poor, metaphysically speaking or physically speaking. We are those of Akuo and would ask the one known as Gary if he sees a follow-up to that query.
And no follow-up question.
We thank you, my brother. May we have the next question, please.
Terry asked, what is the metaphysical difference between a solar system that orbits a single star and a solar system that orbits binary stars? And also, is there a possibility that this solar system we currently occupy will one day have a binary star?
We are those of Ukuo and are aware of your query, my brother. There is, as far as we know, no metaphysical difference between a single sun solar system and a double sun solar system. The cause of binary solar systems is to be found in the laws of attraction, where two solar systems have been manifested and have blossomed in such a way that their energies begin to work together and in order to balance the two powerful suns, there is formed a relationship betwixt them so that there is a somewhat more complex system of influences, shall we say, of the kind that you are used to thinking of as astrological. Its nature has nothing to do with its relationship with the sub-sublogoi that may enjoy incarnation beneath its rays of sunshine. There are times when the womb of a woman shall bring forth twins. And there is no deeper meaning to that than to the fact of ineluctable and inevitable consequences being caused by the conception being duple. May we answer you further, my brother? We are those of Ugul.
Terry is very devoted to the study of your words, Quill. I know he will be extremely happy to have received your responses. Thank you. I will move on to the next question. No follow-up on the previous question. Chaya Zen writes that while I read the Quill material, I often feel very touched in my heart. During one meditation, I heard those of Quo talk to me and say, "We are your distant future." I really want to know if those of Quo are connected with me in a deeper way.
We are those of Quo and are aware of your inquiry. The query has elements that would infringe upon the law of confusion, and so we shall content ourselves with observing that in many cases those entities who are drawn to the energies and the vibrations that underlie and surround the words that we offer through this instrument are what this instrument would call wanderers. For a wanderer, the earth is indeed the home, the native land, and it is well to adopt it and embrace it fully. Yet, for those who come from elsewhere, especially those who have incarnated in the latest wave of wanderers, which we would call indigo children, even the adults, there is a distinct overlay of nearly hidden but discernible memory of a different time, a different place, different conditions, where hearts were indeed undefended and where compassion held sway. Each wanderer has relinquished any claim upon that long ago and distant home that was elsewhere in order that it may fully commit with zeal, honesty and integrity to the mission of lightening the consciousness of planet Earth, one thought at a time, not changing others, but simply working to change the self. However, there are always friends from home that may stop by to say hello. And it can safely be said that many of those who listen to the words of the Ra group, the Hatong group, and the Latui group, that altogether being the Kuo group, will find friends and relations among those who speak. May we ask if there is a further query, my brother?
Thank you, Kuo. The next question comes from Thomas Carlson. It begins with a Ra excerpt followed by the question. Ra is talking about healing, and Ra says, infringement upon free will occurs in this circumstance only if the entity doing the working ascribes the authorship of this event to itself or its own skills. He who states that no working comes from it, but only through it, is not infringing upon free will. Thomas asks, why is it that free will of those witnessing a healing is protected when the healer does not claim authorship of the healing? Conversely, why is the free will of witnesses infringed upon by the healer claiming authorship?
We are those of Kuo and are aware of the query, my brother. We thank you for the thoughtful query. The energy of healing is not a single thing or a simple thing. In its pure form, that is, the form in which the healer is an instrument of the divine, allowing to flow through it the energies of the one infinite creator, there is no possibility of infringement because of the fact that the transaction has nothing of action in it on the part of the healer, except for the healer to turn to the one infinite creator and ask that it may be used. When the healer is out of the way and the energy is coming through the healer, if the one who is supposedly to be healed subconsciously does not wish the healing, spirit will move away without a second thought. The healer in this circumstance then is as a catalyst. It creates an environment without itself being changed in which the one to be healed has the opportunity to choose a different default setting for its wellness. Insofar as the one to be healed chooses to take this opportunity, miracles may indeed happen. However, there has been no connection or contact, if you will, between the will of the healer and the will of the one to be healed. It is as if one were to place a crystal in such a setting that it vibrated and radiated in a certain way because of the configuration of its crystalline structure. The radiation occurs. Whether or not it is used is entirely within the free will of the one to be healed. Whether that free will is expressed consciously or unconsciously. Conversely, if the healer believes that he is the one doing the healing, his will is involved and is in contact with the will of the one to be healed. There is a separation, therefore, between healer and healee. And this separation is less than the truth of wholeness. In this environment, it is indeed possible to infringe upon the free will of the one to be healed, whether consciously or unconsciously, realized on the part of the one to be healed, simply because the will of the healer being involved has an almost inevitable tendency to shut the gate of intelligent infinity, so that the healer is no longer springboarding from the green ray, moving through the gateway to intelligent infinity, and opening that gateway, allowing the power to heal to come through that gateway and through the healer as an instrument. It is instead operating from the yellow ray. The yellow ray is a powerful ray, and will can be channeled very easily by one who has a powerful will to impinge upon other entities. And that will of the healer may well be to do good, to serve the Creator, and to serve the fellow man or woman that is standing before him asking to be healed. Nevertheless, he now has a personal dynamic between his yellow ray and the will of the other entity from whatever a chakra that other entity is expressing will. This means that the healing is a human transfer. The healer pushes wellness into the energy body of the one to be healed. Frequently, such healers are very effective in the short term. The laying on of hands often is very powerful with such healers. There may be an immediate healing, or that which seems to be an immediate improvement. The hallmark of such healings, however, is that they will wear off and will simply be combed out of the aura of the one to be healed by time and attrition, so that in the end the energy simply stops being effective. That same healer can repeat the healing again and again and achieve results each time. Nevertheless, it does not have the characteristics of that movement through the gateway of intelligent infinity, which produces the environment of healing while preserving completely the free will of the one to be healed. May we answer you further, my brother? We are those of Ukul.
Thank you for that response, Quoth. The next question is a quick one. It comes from Anders Olofsson from one of the Scandinavian countries, I believe. Anders asks, I believe I am a wanderer, extraterrestrial in origin. Can you confirm this?
We are those of Kuo, and we are indeed able to confirm this for the one known as Anders. We are those of Kuo. Is there another query at this time?
Yes, Kuo, thank you. The next query comes from Tay Burt. Tay asks, is it likely that this time frame of December 21st, 2012, give or take, will be delayed by an increase in the positive polarity? And if delayed, is the length of delay likely to be negligible?
We are those at Ukuo and are aware of your query. There are two layers to that query, and we would answer both of them. Firstly, in terms of the planetary situation, there is no variance possible in the turning of the age. It is a mathematical, geometrical design that works like a clock. When the age is done, another age moves in. And this is what is occurring with planet Earth at this time. And this indeed will occur, give or take, as you say, in 2011 to 2012, in that vicinity. We would be delighted to be completely accurate, but although the mathematics of planet Earth turn to a specific date of December 21st, 2012, there are metaphysical corrections to be made to the earthly mathematics, which indicate that the clock will turn somewhat before that, somewhere in the summer preceding the winter solstice of 2012. Be that as it may, this is only one layer of our answer. What impacts the questioner and all of those upon planet Earth far more is the harvest that is occurring concomitantly with this turning of the age. The harvest has already begun. It began in your year 1987, in that November period called Harmonic Convergence. Entities began being harvested when they died from the physical at that time. All were offered the steps of light. Many of those you now call indigo children are those who have graduated from planet Earth in the positive sense, have gone on to acquaint themselves with their new fourth density homes, and have asked for permission to return to third density as wanderers. The concern here is duple. Firstly, the wanderers wish to lighten the consciousness of the planet, that there may be the largest possible harvest upon planet Earth at this time. They are aware, once they have entered fourth density and have been able to look at the situation from a larger point of view, that one person can make a difference by the way he thinks and by the way he lives. And so they have given up their newly won fourth density living to come back to what this instrument would call spiritual boot camp in order to get into the thick of the fray and in the heart of disharmony, create harmony. In the heart of fear, create love. In the heart of judgment, create compassion. There is another powerful motive for such entities to return to third density planet Earth, and that is the love and concern that they feel for Gaia, planet Earth herself. There's much restitution that can be made. Trees planted, wastes cleansed, habits changed, so that the earth begins to thrive and people begin to live with the earth instead of on the earth. These motives are powerful in bringing many new wanderers to planet Earth. As wanderers have come into planet Earth for incarnation, and as the population of the planet, from whatever source, has slowly begun to hunger and thirst for the new paradigm of love and understanding, the Earth has been able to take hold and to respond to this lightening that is ongoing. It is easy to look at the many extreme weather problems that your globe has been experiencing and cry doom, but we would suggest to you that these frequent catastrophes are actually a very good sign. They are the sign that planet Earth has regained enough strength to do the balancing that she must do in order to absorb and eliminate this aggressive and hostile energy that has been pumped into her for so long, in stages rather than all at once. You will notice that the magnetic change that needed to be made has not been made by a pole shift, but rather has been made by small increments. And even now, magnetic north, as this instrument would call it, is almost precisely at the place it needs to be in order to welcome fourth density. Thusly, we may say that indeed, in terms of the harvesting being prolonged past 2012, this was always a possibility if a pole shift did not have to occur. And it is now a near certainty, since the lightening of the planet has continued to take place, mostly unnoticeably and beneath the radar of politics and the larger consciousness of the society as a whole. However, when one pulls the attention away from the news, which focuses upon those in power and those who have caused destruction, and points it at the home front, at friends and neighbors and the local situation, we would suggest that you can find good things happening everywhere. People caring for and loving each other and reaching out to each other in kindness and compassion. This means that each who is hearing these words or who may read them shall undoubtedly be able to live their incarnation through and be, at the end of it, invited to walk those steps of light that the harvest times offer to souls who seek the one infinite creator. May we answer you further, my brother. We are those of the Ghoul.
Thank you, Kwa. The next question comes from J.D. Justice. J.D. asked, a well-known psychic has suggested that multiple personality disorder, 99.9% of the time, has to do with bleed-throughs of past life memories / personalities. The traumatized child compartmentalizes parts of their current personality or different past life personality. Is this true, and could you offer any insight into the situation?
We are those that were cool and are aware of your query. We would find it impossible to generalize in this particular question and say that it is usually a bleed-through memory from a past life, or it is not a bleed-through memory from a past life. It is unknown. The human psyche is a delicately balanced mechanism. It is certainly true in each case that the compartmentalization of personality takes place because there have been insults offered to body, mind, or spirit that have been so egregious that they cannot be borne. They cannot be looked at face to face. And so they must be tucked away so that the organism as a whole can survive. In some cases, this process takes place from the inside out, that is, from within the personality of the being, which has brought this conundrum with it into incarnation for the precise purpose of working it through. In other cases, the personality of a parental figure or a guardian figure or some other figure which has offered such insult and grievous injury to the entity becomes a part of that compartmentalization process. And in those cases, the source of alternative personalities tends to be a dynamic between the abuser and the abused, so that there may be in some cases 4 or 5 or 6 personalities that come forth which are attempting to express a certain phase of the dynamics of the abuse involved that has springboarded the entity into compartmentalizing personalities. In the former case, it is more likely that use might be made of some karmically central previous past life event or relationship. This redounding to the present life and expressing in such a way that the entity works upon the self in a way that is quite unorthodox in terms of what this instrument would call normal or mentally healthy living. Nevertheless, when such a pattern exists, it exists on purpose, not as a punishment or as a mistake. Rather, the entity has chosen a particularly difficult incarnative experience because from the standpoint of the self before incarnation, it saw that in the very bright and vivid of planet Earth, and there would be a vastly shortened period necessary in order to achieve a rebooting and rebalancing of the soul's essence in a very helpful way. However, it is possible in either of those two types of split personality that such an alternative personality may be echoing a past life experience or relationship. It is simply a case-by-case determination, and it certainly is not true, in our opinion, that it is always having to do with the past life. In many cases, the present life and its abuses are more than enough catalyst to produce this particular configuration of mind. It is, however, to be noted that in the larger sense, all present-day relationships undoubtedly have their roots in past lives. Those who have incarnation upon earth today have incarnated time and time again, moving within a certain group of souls who, through many lifetimes, have had many different relationships with each other. And therefore, the question becomes moot, because even if everything within the configuration of split mind comes from this incarnation and this abuse, there is the background within each soul essence of all of the connections that have existed before and all of the patterns of relationship and connection that have been experienced and explored by those within relationship. In the end, it is perhaps more helpful, metaphysically speaking, not psychologically speaking, to consider all cases of split personality as taking place within the self, and the other personalities being seen as portions of the shadow side of self that have become swollen, out of place, so that they have escaped the comfortable location within the self of that shadow side and have acted out into the conscious daylight consciousness of an entity. If one looks at it that way, just as one may look at a dream as having the meaning of each character in the dream being a part of the self, it is perhaps less understandable in an intellectual or logical way, but more easy to work with in terms of forgiving the self, forgiving the alternative self, forgiving the entire situation, and moving through healing and balancing processes. May we answer you further, my brother?
Thank you, Quill. The next question comes from John, Vijkstra, I believe he writes from the Netherlands. He asks, it seems that our awareness in the incarnation we happen to be living is isolated. We have no awareness of our past incarnations and no awareness of future incarnations. What good is it to be separated from the knowledge of our other incarnations? Also, how does learning from one incarnation carry over to the next?
Oh, yeah, those are Ukuo and are aware of your question, my brother. First of all, the reason for the veil of forgetting is that it is only within the innocence of unknowing that one may choose one's path in utter free will. There are third densities in which more knowledge of past and future was included in the template of the human consciousness. However, those third densities tended to be inefficient in preparing entities for the choice of service to self or service to others. When there is a comfortable awareness of the grand scheme of things, there is also the temptation to take it easy and to loaf and enjoy the life as it is without making ethical choices. When the veil drops and an entity is indeed isolated within his own mind, he is then aware that his choices will make all the difference in his life. And the process by which he comes to know himself and to know his mind is then innocent of any influence but his own. This is a very valuable characteristic in terms of doing a lot of metaphysical work quickly. This veil that has dropped creates a very vivid environment in which there is an enhanced feeling of personhood and of the power that one has to choose. It may seem illogical to block out the knowledge of what has come before in terms of being well informed as to making decisions. Yet, the purpose of incarnation in third density is not to be well-informed, but to be uninformed. Not to feel the oneness with all, but to experience the catalyst of seeming isolation. So that one will organize the self. One will get to know the self. One will gather experience and begin creating a system of personal ethics that makes sense in the here and now, not having to do with what has gone before. In third density, each day is a new day. Each choice is the beginning of a new life. And this is a very precious and helpful characteristic of being within the veil of forgetting. The second part of your query, my brother, had to do with what lasts past the physical incarnation. And we may say to you that your personality does not last, but your essence lasts. You have made slow and hard-won changes in the balance with which you look at life. You have gained ground in widening and deepening your perspective and your point of view in what this instrument has called boot camp many times. And you have developed, if we may use the simile of flowers, a certain scent or aroma. And it is that scent of self that lasts. It is the essence that endures. Many details will fall away, even within incarnation, and certainly beyond it. But those things that have moved your heart, those things that have changed your point of view, those things that have softened and sweetened your nature, those are the things that endure. The beauty that you create is eternal. All else falls away. May we ask for one final query at this time, my brother?
Your responses have been excellent. Well, thank you. The final question comes from Mark Jen. Mark asks, Quo said recently that fourth density beings can inhabit the planet with third density beings and choose to remain unseen. I'd like to know how third density beings share the first and second density of a planet with the higher density entities. I imagine they, being the fourth density entities, don't need first density structures for shelter. But what about environmental changes made by third density entities? How are fourth density beings affected by this? For example, if third density entities cut down a second density forest, is the environment of the higher densities diminished by that act?
We are those at Ukuo and are aware of your query. The query itself contains some inaccuracies, yet it is a delightful query, and we shall do what we can to work our way through it. Firstly, fourth density is indeed interpenetrating so heavily with third density at this time that it is quite possible for a fourth density entity to live upon your planet. However, it is not a choice that fourth density entities would make. Rather, if they wish to inhabit this planet at this time, they inhabit it in the inner realms. And indeed, you have many within your inner realms at this time that are fourth density. However, the vast majority of those who have graduated from third density planet Earth have chosen to move into incarnation in dual activated third density, fourth density bodies. They are wired for both densities, but are governed by third density, by the third density portion of their wiring, so that they are physical third density entities. The enhanced wiring, however, often shows through in everyday life as such entities grow up and become part of society, in that there is a certain amount of hectic energy that is different than and stronger than a simple third density wiring would permit. This creates the situation where many of your fourth density dual activated beings are diagnosed with some version of attention deficit disorder. This comes from the increased amount of information available to those with fourth density wiring. It is almost too much information for the third density being to hold. And yet, even with this handicap, the desire of the indigo wanderer is to come and give everything that they have to the beau geste of serving the one creator by loving and embracing planet Earth, its people, and its environment at this time. May we ask if there is a follow-up to that query, my brother? We are those of Gual.
No, there is not a follow-up to that query.
In that case, my brother, we shall take our leave of you, this group, and this instrument, thanking each for the great privilege of sharing conversation with you. We extend our love and our light to all of those who ask queries, and we thank each who is part of the extended community of this group. Certainly those in this sitting circle consider all of those who write in with questions to be part of L&L research, as this instrument calls, this community of those who love the one infinite creator with all their hearts, all their souls, all their mind, and all their strength, and their neighbors as themselves. We take our leave of you, leaving you in the love and in the light of the one infinite creator. We are known to you as the principle of Gual. And for those of you with sensitive feelings to vibrations, we may say that due to the various queries this evening, the one known as Hatton has been the speaker rather than the one known as Latui this evening. However, we of Gual, infinitely one, offer you love and light as we receive the same from you. For are we not all one? Adonai, Adonai, Vasu.